Let's turn this evening, please, to the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 9. We're going to read some verses from this chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. We're reading at the verse 18. If you have a copy of the Scriptures, do take down your Bible. Share with us in the reading of the Word of God. We're reading from the Authorized Version, Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and the verse 18. And it came to pass, as he, that is Jesus, was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and chief priests, and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, till they see the kingdom of God. Amen. Tonight I would just like to draw your attention to the words of the verse 23. They're the words of Christ. He said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You will observe that the words of this text are for us all. The other Gospels record that the Savior was not only talking to his disciples, but to the people who were gathered around him as well. Here are words for every man, then. There is an application of these truths to each one of us this evening. The Savior's words raise the intriguing subject of following him. There are many, of course, who have an interest in this subject, particularly in connection with the rewards that are promised to those who follow Christ. Now, addressing this very same group of people at this very time, John's Gospel tells us that the Savior said to the people, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Here really was a very base reason for following Christ, because they had been fed by him. And yet there are many who share in that kind of reasoning, in that they only have an interest in following Christ in order to obtain the rewards that are promised and the blessings that are promised to those who follow the Savior. But the Lord Jesus informs this multitude that there is a cost involved in following him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, for many people, that's quite enough to put them off the idea of following Christ. When they hear that there's a cost involved, that it's not all just sunshine and roses, but rather there's a price to be paid, there's reproach to be borne, there's a cross to be carried, there is self-denial, there is a cost involved in following the Savior. Now, the Lord Jesus is speaking to those here who have an interest and a desire to follow him. In fact, the word that he uses here, if any man will come after me, that's not just a future tense, but rather it's a verb used here that indicates purpose and intention and desire. This is their purpose. This is what they have set themselves to do. Here's a man and he wills to follow Christ. By his own volition, by an act of the will, he purposes to come after the Savior. Now, it's good to have a will to follow Christ. It's good to have that intention, good to have that desire. But always remember this, that the desire to follow Christ is not the same as following him. You know perfectly well, in everyday things in life, that there are many things that you intend to do, but you never get around to doing them. You intend to do a certain job, but you know that the intention is not enough. You have to get up and follow through on that intention and carry through your purpose. Now, many today feel that the intention to follow Christ is quite sufficient, that that's all they need to do. They just desire to follow the Savior, or they have a purpose, or the expressed desire of their heart is, I want to follow the Lord Jesus. Well, that's good, but it's not the same as following Him. You see, the Lord Jesus says, if any man desires to follow me, and then he lays out three steps in this text that are necessary if we're going to carry through that intention. Maybe tonight it's your desire to follow the Lord Jesus. You've been thinking about it for a while. Your heart has been challenged. You've been convicted. Maybe you're a sinner. And the Spirit of God has been convincing you that you are a sinner and you need Christ. And the thought is in your heart, one day I'm going to follow Christ. Well, that's good to have that desire, but oh dear friend, don't stop short of carrying through on that purpose. Don't stop short until you have actually begun to follow the Lord Jesus. If you're a Christian, you know that you have got away from the Lord. You're not living as you should be. And there's a desire now in your heart, you know, I really ought to get right with God. I really should start to walk with Christ and follow Him in the way of His commandments. Well, it's time to get beyond the intention and actually to follow the Savior. There are three things, as I have said, that are set before us in this text that are the marks of those who are following Christ. Three things necessary to actually following the Savior. Let's notice, first of all, that Christ is only followed by those who deny self. Let's take them in the order of the verse here. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, what is the Lord speaking about here when he's talking about self? Well, really, he's talking about that old nature that we all have, that nature that the Scripture often describes as the flesh, the natural heart, that inclination of nature that we are born with. And of course, we're born in sin. And that old man, that self that the Savior is speaking about here, is our sinful nature. That mind and heart and will that naturally expresses itself in a sinful fashion and acts contrary to the will and the mind of God. All of us have within us, by nature, a heart that is inclined to sin. A heart that is bent toward sin. This is what the Savior is speaking about here as self. In Galatians 5 and the verse 19, Paul describes here the actions of this self, this old sinful fleshly nature. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These sins, that some of which Paul lists here by name, are the works of the flesh, the outworking of the old sinful heart that is within us. Now, if we're to follow Christ, the Savior says something has to be done about this old sinful heart that is within us. Self is to be denied. The word used here simply means to refuse to recognize something or to ignore it. Within our heart, there is that constant clamor to do evil, to be inclined to sin against God. But the Lord is saying here, if you're going to be a follower of me, then you need to ignore that direction of the heart. And you need to refuse to respond to that directing inclination of the human heart. Now, what does that require? It requires a new heart. It requires conversion. It requires us to be born again. Because you see, by nature we are sinful, and that is the guiding principle of our lives up until the point of conversion. Self rules. We live as we please. up until the point of conversion. And it is only after conversion, when the newborn child of God has a new nature, a new inclination, a new desire, a new direction in life, that he has the ability to deny the flesh and to deny self and to ignore and resist the sinful promptings of his heart and instead to obey God. So the Lord Jesus can only be followed by those who have a new heart. Those who have an experience of conversion where they are made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now there's something else we learn here. That following Christ is incompatible with the indulgence of self. Self-will and self-determination is not the mark of the follower of Jesus Christ. Please understand this. In this modern day and age, there is so much nonsense that is taught about free expression and the right to live as we please as Christians that is contrary to the Word of God. The Christian is not one who lives as he himself pleases or as he himself dictates. He lives ignoring self and doing the will of God, following the Lord Jesus Christ. The ungodly man has only one master, self. The saved sinner, the converted man, has a new master, Christ, and he is to follow him. Denying self. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian tonight and you're living as you please and you're not going to let anybody tell you what to do and you're not going to let God command you how you should live, you're living in a sinful, backslidden condition. You're not following Christ, because to follow him requires us to live denying self and its sinful desires. Instead, we bow before the will of God and we do what he says as he directs and as he guides. So then, let me ask you the question tonight. Who are you pleasing? Do you please yourself in life or do you please God? You can't follow Christ unless you're prepared to deny yourself and please him. Christ is only followed then by those who deny self, but more than that, also he is followed by those who embrace the cross. Look at the text, verse 23. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. A follower of Christ is one who walks in the way of Christ. And you only have to go back one verse to the verse 22 to find a description of the path of Christ. It was the way that led to Calvary and to his cross work there. The Lord Jesus walked a path that was constantly overshadowed by his work on the cross at Calvary. In John 12 and 27, he says that for this cause, for his death, for his sufferings on the cross, for this cause came I unto this hour. That's the purpose he lived with all his life here upon the earth. He was walking in the way to the cross. Now the cross of Christ is to become personal for those who would follow the Savior. If you're going to walk in the path of the Lord Jesus, then understand this, that you're going to have a personal interest in the cross work of Jesus Christ. Now when the Lord Jesus is talking here about the cross, he's talking about the work of the cross. He's not talking about a little crucifix. Some Christians, you know, have the idea, foolishly, that all it takes for them to do is to hang a cross around their neck or hold it in their hand or to carry it around with them in some way to obey the words of Christ. That's foolishness. The Lord Jesus is not talking about anything physical here. He's talking in spiritual terms about the work of the cross. Because at the end of the day, the tree that Christ was crucified on doesn't mean anything. It was the work that he accomplished, crucified on the tree, that means everything. When the Lord Jesus is talking here about the disciple who follows him, taking up the cross, there are three things that very quickly I want to suggest to you that he means. Number one, he's talking about the sufferings and reproach of being a follower of Christ. There will be a burden that every soul who is serious about holiness and serious about following Christ will have to bear. the cross is the mark of shame. It was the mark of rejection. It was the symbol of hatred and being despised. And every disciple that would follow Jesus Christ must take up the cross of Christ and share in his reproach and share in his shame and share in his rejection. There are remarkable words in 1 Peter 2:21. Let me read them to you. Christ also hath suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. To follow Christ will mean to, in some way, enter into the same reproach and shame that he endured at the hands of men when he was rejected and crucified. But let me suggest that there's something else here inferred by the Savior. A personal interest in the cross work of Christ will mean justification. It will mean salvation. Because what is happening here is a description of the disciple embracing Christ as his sacrifice. Christ's cross work as being sufficient for my sin before God. And that is justification. That is salvation. That is when the sinner is saved. When he embraces Christ's cross work on Calvary as sufficient to deal with my guilt before God and sufficient to pardon my sin. You want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to be justified. You have to be a saved sinner. You have to have a personal saving interest in the cross work of Christ, where he died as the Redeemer of sinners. He died to save everyone who will embrace him as their only hope for peace with God. Have you come to embrace Christ's work in salvation? Have you come by faith to say, this Christ, this sacrifice is what I need to have peace with God? You can't follow Christ unless you have been justified by faith, embracing Christ's cross work as your hope for eternity. But let me say that there's another thing inferred here by this personal taking up of the cross. The Christian is one who must die daily. You see that the Savior says, take up the cross daily. Every day there is to be a dying to self. There is to be a crucifying of the old nature. Paul said, I die daily. He crucified the old nature. He crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Galatians 5:24. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 6:6. A follower of Christ is one who dies every day to sin and to self. There has to be the crucifying of the old nature daily. Such personal application of the cross of Christ is indeed a daily feature of the Christian life. What does it mean? The Savior says, take up the cross daily. That means that every day I trust in Christ as my hope before God. I trust in his blood. I embrace his saving, atoning work of redemption as my peace with God. And there is a constant daily dying to sin. You know, the path of following Christ is one that involves constant pain, as it were. Every day there is to be a crucifying of the flesh. Every day there is a battle to be fought and won over the desires of our old will and heart. Every day we must die to self. So many think that when they encounter the practical outworking of this doctrine in their lives, and they begin to struggle with sin, and they begin to experience the hurt in their lives of what it means just to deny ourselves certain things and to cut them off for Jesus' sake. They say, this is too hard. I can't be right. This is too difficult. This can't be the will of God. But it is. But it is. Every day, take up the cross. Take up the reproach. Take up the shame. Take up the anguish and the agony of heart of denying self and bowing before the will of God. There's no other way to follow the Savior. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If you're not prepared to go this way, if you're not prepared to follow Christ, whatever the price, you're not his disciple. But let me finally just point out that Christ is followed by those who actually share his path. That's a simple thought, isn't it? You can only follow Christ as you walk in the same pathway. But you know there are many today, and they would say, oh yes, I'm following Christ, and they're walking in a different path. They think that they can walk the path of the world, the path of sin. They think they can walk in the broad path with the crowd and somehow think they're following Christ. You cannot follow the Savior unless you actually walk in His paths. The followers of Christ follow Him. Not only are they found among His followers, adhering to Him, but they follow Him. They do not walk as they please, they walk after His lead in His paths. And here's where we come to the significance of the word follow. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. The word follow literally means to join paths. And it's the idea of two roads merging together to become one. The Lord Jesus' path becomes our path. We no longer walk two separate, distinct pathways, but our way merges with His, and our way becomes His. Now the ways of Christ are outlined in His Word. The ways of holiness are set down for us in Scripture. And these are the paths that we must walk in if we would be described as a follower of Christ. You have no legitimate claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ unless these features are seen in your life. Unless you have denied yourself, taken up your cross today, and follow Him. Sharing His path, walking as He walks and where He leads. Only then are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you His follower today, or are you a stranger? Are you walking contrary to God? Oh, you need to get right with God if that's the case. You need to abandon your own ways and turn in repentance and confession and find mercy and pardon with God through the blood and cross work of Christ. And then you may be called a follower of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word for Jesus' sake. Amen.